All right, we're going to look at Exodus, the book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33. This book is in the Old Testament, therefore it's written in Hebrew, and God wants to teach us about His holiness, and His holiness is actually in the bottom of the Ark of the Covenant. So, the holiness of God has to be interpreted, understood, so that you're not condemned, but rather you're actually made holy by His holiness. So let's make God do all the work. So God employs then His mercy so that you never look at holiness except through mercy. You never look at God's holiness except through mercy. Now the Jews knew that, and I'm going to read it for you today. Nevertheless, they never followed that. They never followed that. They thought the purpose of holiness was to do it, and then if you messed up, you could get some mercy. We don't believe that. We believe that you can't do it without the mercy according to the power. So, in the Ark of the Covenant, down in the bottom of the box, there is holiness, the two tables of the law. Then on the top of the box is called the mercy seat, and on top of that is the throne of God, where His presence and His glory shines forth, the Shekinah glory of God. So it's not His mercy which changes you. It's actually the presence of God which changes you into a new man of God. His mercy forgives you. That's justification. But He sanctifies you here by the power of His Holy Spirit presence in you. So the ultimate purpose of the box is not that you would keep the law, but that you would keep the law, the holiness of the law, through the mercy of God, according to the power of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Never look at the holiness of God except through the mercy of God according to the power of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that actually changes you into the likeness. The mercy of God restores the image of God because Christ is in you. But the likeness of God comes through the power of God and His presence. If His presence doesn't go with us, we aren't a people. The only thing that makes us unique in this world, distinct in this world, our identity is tied up not in the holiness of God, but in the holiness of God through the mercy of God according to the power of God. And without the last one, the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Without that last one, and most Christians are without that last one, you cannot please God. So faith doesn't please God, but holiness through faith according to the power. That's what pleases God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You need all three. You need all three. So, what chair is this? What chair is this? The holiness of God. This is the holiness of God. This is where people try to be holy without God. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. How many here have tried to be holy and you flunked? You failed. You fell short. So, since you can't do it, the good news is, that's not a problem. Let God take care of it through His mercy. So, the holiness of God, viewed through the mercy of God, where Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary, which we just sang, according to the power of God at Pentecost, So you see that God's holiness, viewed through mercy, tied with power, is how you get saved, justified by faith. Then how you get not only born again, but filled with the Spirit daily. And then how you get perfected by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're a believer, then you're a disciple, and then you are actually made a lover. And he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So we have a little ways to go yet to stop working. Most people are still working to please God, right? Most people are working to do something. And are you not tempted on a daily basis to help God out and to help your neighbor and be good and try to behave yourself? Yes. The answer is yes. Every Christian mistakenly assumes that they can be holy without God. You can't. You can't make a sacrifice for God that would be pleasing based on your holiness, your capacity to be good. So this is a waste of time here that you labor in vain to build something and you can't build anything. It's not even the foundation. This is a false foundation. This, under the law, nothing's made perfect. This is the law. This is better. This is the gospel. Good news. Gospel just means good news in Greek. Euangelion. So this good news is another kind of foundation which actually kills you before it resurrects you. And that is so good because you can't kill yourself. I don't know if anybody here has tried. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about yourself. As long as you are alive, you will try to be proud, angry, fearful, envious, etc., etc., etc. I don't care how you try. You can try every day. You will not make it. So you must have new eyes to see and ears to hear. First thing you want to see is you're no good. That's the first thing. This is not taught in Dallas. But most people don't want to teach this. I love it. Because this is the only thing that's going to get the thing done. You are not able to do anything. God does everything, and according to his mercy, let him be your righteousness. Let him do it. Let him take away your sin. Let him forgive you. Let him glorify himself through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is be a believer here, and then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And he'll do all the work. I like it better where God does everything so that I am holy, but it came as a gift rather than as a work. First, he forgave me, but that didn't make me holy. He called me holy because I believed, but I still wasn't holy. How many know Christians still sin? I don't mean you, but I mean, you know, other people. And you have to forgive them because they're not perfect. You know why? Because they're still trying to be Jewish, trying to keep God's law when nobody can keep it. The Catholics can't keep it. The Jews can't keep it. The Methodists can't keep it. Nobody can keep it. So the holiness of God must never be separated from. This is the letter of the law which killeth your flesh, killeth your ability to please God. Have you ever noticed that? That God never is satisfied. And you know it. Your conscience won't let you think, you know, I'm okay. No, you're not. It's a gift. It has to be a free gift. So here the mercy of God, chesed in the Old Testament. Chesed means his loving kindness. So holy, holy, holy. That's how, there's holiness. Now you see it. Holy, holy, holy. Kodesh, kodesh, kodeshim. Kodesh. So you have the outer court, you have the holy place, you have the Holy of Holies. In the outer court, Jesus dies for you. You can't keep that law, but he did. And he paid for all your sins. That's the mercy of God at work. Now I trust in that mercy, and therefore he gives me his Holy Spirit because he's actually forgiven all my sins and he's not counting them, so he has to give me the Holy. He can't hold it back. Jim is holy by faith in me. What I did for him in the outer court, I was slain. Now here, I'm going to do it in him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to do it through him so that other people see his good works and they'll give glory to the Father in heaven, which did it. Because the holiness of God must be seen through the mercy of God, must be according to the power of God. Now you see there? You made it. How'd you make it? By a gift to God. You didn't make it by yourself. You cannot make it by yourself. So Christians are completely confused today. All Christians. Even if they've heard the truth, they still, I know they're going to fall back. They will. Even if you say, I won't. I got it down, Pastor. I memorized all the words you said. I got it down. It won't help. It won't help. You'll still think you're God the next day. An hour later, you'll be proud of the fact that you helped God out one more time. You cannot ever erase that. Is everybody okay with this? I mean, if you're a rotten, no good person, it's really good news. If you're not, if you actually are proud of the fact that you're an awesome person, you're going to get mixed up if you don't realize the holiness of God, whereby you must be holy for God, is not going to work. But the holiness he's looking for is that which comes from his mercy, his loving kindness, and that which ends up where you're actually doing good works, but you didn't do them, therefore you're happy. Now, a person that does them could be proud, but if you are proud, you have to start all over again because you got it wrong. He's not in you to make you better. He's in you to glorify himself. He doesn't want you to make an atonement. He wants to make an atonement. He wants to pay himself, so to speak. He wants to pay himself. You owe him something because he created you. And he told you to behave. Chair number one. So the holiness of God stands against you and your flesh. All the sins that you do and all the sinful person that you are. But that's all right. That's only the first word. We got another word. That is the mercy of God, which forgives you for all that. And then you got the power of God, which helps you not to be that, but to be this one here, where God is holy, and then he's holy, and then he actually makes you holy, not just by faith, but in fact with works, so that you can actually praise him and worship him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength. That's the law. And thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do it. You won't do it. No one has ever done it. Never. No one. Not even Moses. Even Moses made some sin. So nobody can keep that law except Jesus. So Moses said, another prophet God will raise up. Listen to him. In other words, don't listen to me giving you a law that you can't keep. So you'll never be able to keep it, brother. I don't know if you've discovered that yet. You're not that powerful. You're not that good. And you are not that smart. So, since you can never, this is a total failure right here. If you look only at the law of God, as Jewish people do, they're constantly saying to one another, keep the Torah. Yeah, but hidden in the Torah is the truth I'm about to share with you. Is that the holiness of God can never be viewed apart from the mercy of God, can never be then called holiness until you're actually, really, truly holy on earth as it is in heaven. Worshiping God, loving the neighbor as itself. So, it's my task to tell you the truth and then to help you, my encouraging you, is don't stop here. Never look at the law without the gospel. And the gospel has several parts to it, but let's just say these two. So the good news, finally, is that you're a bride, spotless, ready for him to come back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. But he done it. I didn't done it. He done it. So since God has done it, it's done. What he does is perfect. If I would do it, it'd be imperfect. As I'm sure if I did a good work all on my own, which I cannot do, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. But let's say I did. I'd be proud of it. So that would ruin it right there. Because I would think I was awesome. Me and God did this together. Mostly me, of course. But a little bit God. God helped out there. People like, everybody believes, even the Jewish people believe in the mercy of God, but it's only if I goof up. Because he wants me to do it. No, he doesn't. Well, he at least wants to cooperate with me. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want any cooperation on your part. You're not a co-author. You're not a co-worker. I know this is mixing you up because you've been brainwashed for generations, about 2,000 years. But this is good news. The good news is never look at the holiness of God without the mercy of God, and I'm going to prove it now, according to the power of God. Never look at the holiness of God without the mercy of God according to the power of God. Now you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right, you ready? I want to say something in Hebrew and then I'll translate it for you. La da'at ki. La da'at ki. La da'at ki. To know that. So you're going to know something. Remember he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In other words, don't try to figure out what good and evil is. Always check with me. If you think holiness is chair number one here, you're wrong. You better check with me. This is not holiness. This holiness right here is actually not a foundation to build upon. Because they that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the house. So this is not a foundation. This is the only foundation, pure mercy. Pure mercy. Why would God do that? Well, no one's making him do it. Why would he do it? I don't know. He loves us for some reason. He made us. We did everything he said not to do, and we did nothing that he said to do. That's why repentance is so important here. Lord, I think my mind is crazy. So, la da'at ki. And then he says, ani Yahweh. I am to know that I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh, the God who will save you. I am the God that will save you. Not because you're holy. I'm not saving you because you're holy. I'm saving you because you're not holy. I have to redeem you because you went astray. Remember I told you to be perfect as I am? You didn't. Remember I said be holy as I am? How many have a high standard for yourself? You try very hard every day to live up to a very high standard. And you want your family to be that way too. You want the people around you to live up to that high standard. And you hate people that are wicked and sinful and slovenly and lazy and so on. Because you can immediately see who they are and you just judge them. Okay, that was a question. Peggy, you see that? Yeah? Okay. Does anyone else see? Anyone else? You see that? That we don't like people that sin. We don't like sinners. That's okay in our case because we can explain it. But in their case, it's just not acceptable. And you can see it so clearly in them. I mean, it's not like they're as smart as you are. They don't see how stupid they are, how lazy they are, how wicked they are, how hypocritical they are, and what fools they are. But I can see it clearly. It's really easy for me to tell other people are not all that sharp, are not all that good, and are certainly not all that powerful to get things done. I wish they were all like me. And the Jews have this prayer. It's a great prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. That's a great prayer. A lot of pride in that. A lot of pride in that. Thank God I'm not like other men. But you are. You're exactly like all other men. You're not one whit better. Not one whit worse either. Exactly the same. The murderer is the same as the pastor in God's sight. So he doesn't make a distinction. His holiness condemns everybody. Every man that's ever been born in the world, this holiness, not man's holiness, but God's holiness, is too high. Be like I am. That's why he created you. He created you, Betzalemnu Karamutnu, in the image and likeness of God. So you'd be able to do just like he does, will what he will, say what he says, do what he does. You know, he just wanted that. So he'd have little trustees all over the place that would do his will. Carry out his vision, carry out his purpose, glorify his name. And nobody did it. Nobody. That's why he sent his son down. Say, son, you gotta help me out on this. Nobody. No, I mean, not one. No, not one has ever done what I wanted. Son, could you go down and give him a personal view of what it's like to be a son? Because I don't have any sons down there. I tried mankind. Adam goofed up right away. Eve listened to his wife and so on. And then raised up Israel and she goofed up. Now I got a church and she's goofing up. And, you know, I'm just not getting what I want. Could you go down there and and forgive them and then help them out. So the Holy Spirit's called the helper. He's the helper. He's the comforter. I'll send you another comforter, another helper. Now he's going to help you out. So you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Savior. But you also need to hear this law, which kills you. Kills your confidence in yourself. How many started out in life with confidence, let's say about a year and a half? About a year and a half into it, you decided it was time to use the word no. You eat your cereal right now. No. There you were. You were a person. You were a real, alive person. I'm not going to do what you tell me. And they throw their food all over and so on and so on. You scoop it up and put it back in the bowl and they spit it at you and so on. There's just something in a little kid that can hardly wait to do that. I don't know why. They've been waiting for a year and a half, learned your language, learned all your, you know, this and that and so on. And then at a certain point, when you tell them, because they got their hand in their bowl and they're just messing around and putting it all over the floor and stuff, you know, and the little kid wants to keep doing it and you tell them, hey, don't, you stop that right now. And they're just going to look at you like, you can't tell me what to do. I want to do this. And up until now, I've obeyed. Today, it's an all-out war and I'm going to win. And so they don't actually keep doing it, but they kind of do it like this, little, just a little bit to see what it's like. You know, I'm going to spank you if you do that. I don't even know what that word means, but it doesn't sound good. And so they just play like this. And no matter what, that little kid has to try out to see whether you're going to back up your thing, your little threat. Because you've never threatened. You always hugged me. You always changed my diaper. You always fed me, clothed me. You know, you took care of me. What are you now, an enemy? Are you going to stop me? You've always loved me so much that I just thought I could do anything. Now I'm doing this, having a good time. I thought, that's what you were for, to let me do whatever I want to do. And that day, they're going to say no. May not say it out loud, they may. But whatever they do, every kid has ever done this in the whole world. Never been a kid that didn't do it. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm not. I don't have to. So that stubbornness gets in them, and they're stiff-necked right there. So, if you bring a child into this world, they may be selfish. They may be rebellious. They may not want to do everything you say all the time. And I like that when that happens, because that proves to me that people aren't God. How many know you're not God? There's something in you that just wants to do what you want to do. Okay, is there anyone here who always wants to do what you're told? Okay, let me put it more accurately. Do you always want to do what God wants you to do? I mean, you want to, but do you do it? Okay, you don't even want to. In fact, you don't even know what he's saying. You just heard him say, be perfect or be holy as I'm holy. Right? So, be holy as I'm holy, that means no sin. If you're holy, there's no sin. So, everybody in the world is a sinner. Not one person ever came into this world who hasn't sinned. And their older brother and sister, let's say you're in the crib, and you're just a month old or 2 months old, and they're sticking stuff on you and throwing toys at you and stuff like this, and you're just there laying there, you can't move or wiggle or anything, and just like, you know, and they're grabbing your face, and, you know. And little kids, older kids love to get those little kids and mess with them, you know, and they're pulling on their ear and so on, just checking them out, see? And the little kid, he can't do anything, and he just starts crying. Mom comes in, what's wrong in here? Nothing. Well, why is the baby crying? I don't know. And they were the one that did it. Well, don't do anything anymore like that. Yes, Mom. And then as soon as they're gone, they pinch them. Or they'll do something. And they're just like that. Am I right, Kathy?
It's horrible.
It's horrible. They're monsters. And they'll put a bat on them and whack them and they'll do all kinds of things. Little kids are like that. Amen? Amen. And sisters do it too. Sisters, if they have a little brother, let's go in there and pinch him like this. Did you touch him? No. And the little kid, she did. But it doesn't matter. That little girl will still insist, I did not. I might have put my hand like this, but I did not touch him. Am I right?
Yes.
So everybody who's ever been in the history of the world is not going to be able to fulfill this be perfect thing. So nobody was born without a personality that is going to defy the living God. And yet your only purpose in life was to worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. And it never happened. Nobody's ever done that. So you need the mercy of God to cover your sin. The blood of a lamb or the blood of a bull or something. And in this case, for us, it's the blood of Jesus. That is a better foundation than the blood of goats. Because this one, if you get a goat, that's just a one-day affair. The next day you'll be sinning again. Probably that afternoon. Probably a nanosecond later. In other words, the blood of an animal cannot cleanse you. Nothing is made perfect under the law. So here's the law, be holy, but nobody can do it. Right? Is everybody here clear about that? I'm not telling it to you so that you say, yeah, I've tried and I haven't made it. I'm telling you so you don't judge other people who've tried it and don't make it. I'm not really worried that that's good news to you, but it's supposed to be good news not just to you, but to your neighbor. Stop judging your neighbor. Because your neighbor, even Christians, Christians still sin after they're born again, even after they're discipled by, Pastor Jim and so on. It doesn't help a thing. People still will sin. They will. Is that correct? Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
So teaching isn't going to do it. I'm telling you, having that kind of, Pastor, give us some more information. Tell us some more scriptures. It won't help. It's not going to help. So I'm telling you now the truth. Lada'at, to know, ki, that. Ani Yahweh, I am God. Okay, don't know who you are, know who he is. I am God. The one that gave you this, I am God. Am also this God, not just Elohim the creator, but Elohim Yahweh, the redeemer of Israel. Israel's God. But he's also the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this God that created you and then offered redemption and hope for you through blood, that's good. Very good. It's still not the end, though. He wants his original idea that you would be on earth as it is in heaven, worshiping God with all your heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He still doesn't have it. Even to this day, the church is not worshiping. They sing stuff. They have music and dance and clapping and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean they're worshiping God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. You know how I know that? Because then they would love their neighbor as themselves, and they're not. That's how I know it. I don't know it because somebody believes. I only know it if somebody does. Are you actually doing the will of God where you don't have a life of your own? You don't try to be holy without God. You want God himself to make the atonement and forgive you, but also to make the atonement, the second part of the atonement, which changes you from glory to glory on a daily basis, so the presence of God. Now, in the ark, this was in the bottom of the box. This was the cover of the box, and this was the throne that stood above the mercy seat. Remember, he's building on the mercy. So here, God, in his holy presence, with the cherubim on each side, you couldn't see him, of course, because he's spiritual, but nevertheless, he was then giving mercy to those that had failed to give the holiness, because they couldn't do it. So he forgave them through the blood, but now it's his presence that changes them, so they don't need to have his mercy constantly tending to them, so that they actually can be holy. Why? Because the presence of God brings you into his perfect holiness. It perfects you. It finishes you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son. Okay? Here's the Spirit, Father, Son. So that the holiness here, Holy Father, Merciful Son, powerful Holy Spirit, enables you, this is the miracle, enables you to actually do what God said when you can't do it. You can't do it in chair one. You're forgiven for not doing it in chair two. But in this chair here, you can actually do it and you give God all the glory. You thank God, you praise God, you worship God. And you did just exactly what God said. Then you find yourself loving your neighbor and you just go, hey, that wasn't me. I used to hate that person. But now for some reason, I'm no longer me. I just found out who God is and now I found out who I am. Who is God? This is love. These are the three faces of love. His holiness through his mercy according to his power. Now you understand the love of the Father. The love of the Father is that he designed this mechanism here to kill you first, then to resurrect you, and then to empower, enable you, and change you by being together with him forever. It's all God. The parent does everything, the child does nothing. The child doesn't do nothing. They actually misbehave. The child misbehaves. You have to love children that misbehave. And God has set up and rigged it so that nobody around you can marry somebody, but they won't be perfect. And not only that, it provokes your imperfection. In other words, their demons and your demons kind of get going at each other. So that's amazing. So how can you love somebody that you're fighting? It's like, are you really respecting me? Saith the man. No. Do you really love me? No. But I do respect you. I don't want respect. I want love. And she says, what do you want? And he says, I want respect. I don't care about your love. I want you just to respect me. Do you hear that? They're different. So, God set it up in such a way that it doesn't work without God. You can't obey God without God. You got to have God to do what God wants. So you have to have a love relationship, not based on law, not just based on mercy, but also based on his power and his presence, his glorious Shekinah power and glory and presence. That's the holiness of God. Me Kadosh. The Kadosh is the word for holy or sanctified. So what God is saying, Kem. Me Kadosh Kem. You. Your. I am. Remember God said I am? God. Your sanctifier. I am the one that makes you holy, which you couldn't do. I forgave you for not doing, and now I enabled you to do. I am God. Me Kadosh Kem. So, La Da'at Ki, to know that, I am God, Ani Yahweh, Me Kadosh Ki, okay, Kadosh Kem. I am the one that will make you holy. Don't you try to get here, I'll give it to you. Why did he do it? Did we earn it? No. Did we cooperate? No. Did we do anything? No. Well, if we didn't do anything, why would God do it? Especially since we misbehaved, we disobeyed everything he said, and we never did anything he said. So he decided to make a whole new creation right here, a whole new foundation, built a whole different thing that you don't build, that he builds himself just for you. Isn't that wonderful? Shouldn't your children learn that from you? That when you make a law that they can't keep, that you forgive them, and then you help them, and then you do it for them, and then they're able to do it. Because you're with them doing it. Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. So families are in trouble today, I can tell. Most marriages, most families are in trouble because there are sins in it. There's all kinds of non-holiness in it. So how will you ever do it? Well, there's only one way. God. Whether you ask for it or not, God's ready, he's willing, and he's able. He's ready, willing and able to do it. And there's nothing, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to earn it. You just ask for it. Okay, I need that. And as soon as you say it, boom, it's over. As soon as you say it, he gets in your boat and you're at the land. There's no rowing needed. Remember, Jesus got into the boat one time and they were rowing to get across the lake and having a little bit of trouble. He got in the boat, boom, they were at the land. So how did we get here? just because Jesus got in your boat. You let Jesus get in your boat. And as soon as you let him get in the boat, it's over. Remember another time he was in the boat and it was flooding up with water and they had a leak in it. And it was filling up with water and they said, let's not wake Jesus. You get mad or something. He's Jesus. And then it got up to his nostrils and it was just about to go in because he was laying down on a bench at the back of the boat and it was getting right up to his nostrils. They thought, I think we better say something to him because he may not know what's going on. And so they wake him up and he, you know, stands up and says, what's the problem? What's the problem? Look, the boat's full. Oh, that's not a problem. How many know none of your problems are problems? You just don't have a God. Could your boat ever go down if Jesus is in it?
No.
So, O ye of little faith. So he just says to the sea, be calm. Boom. All of a sudden the sea was like glass. Wasn't a wave or a ripple in the Sea of Galilee. That's amazing. It's just because Jesus got in your boat. Let him in. Or you don't have to even let him in. He's there. Just believe that he's good. Everything about this is good news, Hugo. This is not good news. This is the bad news for which this good news is even gooder. This is really good if I have that bad. If I know I'm sick, I need a doctor, and I'm thankful to have one only if I'm sick. But if I'm not sick, I don't need the doctor. So if I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And if I'm saved, then he wants me to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and then continually so that I actually obey him freely, and I didn't even do it. It was actually him inspiring me, being with me, and somehow it all got done. Where do I do my part? Well, you don't do anything. Well, I could help out maybe. No. I don't want your help. Please don't help me. No, I'm born again now. I'm believing in your mercy. Yeah, well, believing does not make doing. Just because you believe doesn't mean you'll do. How many know he has to do everything? He has to give you the law that kills you so you don't help. Then he has to do it all for you. Then he does it in you. Then he does it through you. Let God do what he wants to do. Can he build a church? He's sworn. He made a promise that he swore to Abraham long before this law, 430 years before this law was given. And here's what Moses does when God says, I want you to go into the promised land and so on. Leave this mountain where I gave you the law. Because this is just after they made the calf. Just after they made the calf. Remember they made a golden calf? Because Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and they were saying, it's been over a month. How long has it been? 40 days now. Oh, well, he's not coming back. I mean, that guy's not coming. We need some gods. And so Aaron, the brother, he's merciful. He's not a lawman like Moses. They went to him, and Moses is up on the mountain. The lawman's up on the mountain talking holiness stuff with God, coming back with the Ten Commandments, and God says, get you up. This people is sinning, a great sin. What? Well, they made themselves a golden calf, and they're worshiping that. How could they do that? Well, they asked your brother. Your brother, they asked him, he's merciful, he's the priest. They asked him, make us some gods that brought us out of Egypt and so on. Well, I thought God did. Yeah, well, they don't want to believe that anymore because where's Moses? He promised and he didn't keep his promise. How many know that people, the ministers of God are not that good? How many know that, you know, Jim Borchard, he's no good? And I agree with that assessment. You can ask Peggy about that. But that didn't mean Moses was rejected. It just simply meant he wasn't God. That was for sure right there. I am not God, but I can tell you who is. I know him. I love him. I'm not into my getting perfect or pure or whatever. I just believe he'll take care of that. That's his promise. I'll let him keep his promises. I'm not under law. I don't have to be anything. I'm just whatever God wants me to be. I'm totally into it. If he wants to forgive me for my sin, hallelujah. If he wants to then perfect me, hallelujah. I'm not stopping him, but I'm not helping him either. How many know if I helped him, I put my finger on it, God, you know that thing you wanted? I'm helping out a little bit. I'm helping a little bit. I was kind today. I was nice today. And so you can give me a little reward. He won't give a reward because you weren't good. Everything you ever did, everything you ever did, everything you ever thought of doing, everything you could do wouldn't help a bit. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So my foundation is not the law of God. I can't do it. But the law seen through the mercy, seen according to the power. That's the law I'm under, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. This one here will only get me killed and guilty. This one here is a better foundation. This one here says Jesus should die. Let him take my guilt. I like this one. He subs for me. Jim, don't worry about it. I took care of that. What? I did it for you. You're all set. Really? So I've been forgiven? Yeah, you still have all your sin, but you're forgiven. Oh, what do I do with my sin? Just keep it up. Keep going. How many know you can just keep going? And whether I tell you to or not to, you still will. I mean, it doesn't matter how much teaching and preaching I do, you're not going to stop sinning just because I say don't. Did you hear what I said? So I have to understand that as God has forgiven me, I need to forgive others. Amen? And the person you're married to or your friend or people that you've relied upon, they're totally unreliable because they're not going to be holy. So how are they going to ever get holy? Well, you can't. Only God has a move. God's move is, okay, you didn't do it. I have to kill you. However, I think instead of that, I'm going to kill Jesus as your substitute. This is my atonement. I want to make an atonement. I'm free. I did keep the law. I made the law. I am the law. So I think I'll send Jesus, who's perfect. He'll do it for you. Then he'll do it in you. Then he'll do it through you. You believe that? Well, yeah. Now we've shifted from law to promise. Command, no longer the issue. Now the promise is the issue. Not can I keep the law, but can God keep his promise? Can God perform? So you see, all the weight shifted from you to God. It never was on you in the first place. He never expected you to keep that law in the first place. How many know God knows everything? La da'at ki, to know that I am God, is the only one. Ani, I am God, Yahweh. I'm God. And here's what kind of God I am. I'm the God who causes you to keep the law, but not under it, but through Jesus Christ, through his mercy, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, I did all that. I sanctified you. I made you holy. I did that, and I did it for you, but all you had to do is believe that I would keep my promise. So he gave the promise 430 years before the law, because he knew now that you're a nation, you need some laws. I'll give you the heaven laws. You could copy those. You can just do the way it is in heaven, and then everything will be the way I wanted it. But they couldn't do it. For 2,000 years, they didn't do it. And then they killed Jesus, and now they're still not doing it. Isn't that funny? Well, no. It's because you, the Christians who have been saved and now filled with the Spirit and, you know, walking in love, you're going to make them jealous. You're going to make them holy because you're now worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. You're doing what they were supposed to do, which they couldn't do, but now they're jealous because they see you're happy. Now, what if you're not? Well, then that's a problem. So whose problem is that? God's. Who is he assigned to tell that to you? Me. So I'm telling you right now, you don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. Let God do everything. That's God. Ani Yahweh, I am God. When God says he am, that means his presence must go with wherever you go. So Moses used this argument. I don't know if you know it, but Moses is in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. That's a faith chapter. So So he must be a man of faith. I thought he was a lawman. No, but he even broke the law. Because no one can keep the law except Jesus. So he was a servant in all God's house and a very good servant. Because he told them the law. But he never helped them to do it. Why? Because the law can't make anybody perfect. All the law can do is tell you what to do, but it can't help you to do it. And it won't forgive you for not doing it. So the law has no mercy in it. There's no mercy in the law. You go 80 miles an hour in a 50 zone, there's no mercy in the law. Now, the guy doesn't have to give you a ticket because he's your uncle or you paid him a bribe or something. But the truth is, that's the law. And there's no mercy in the law. There might be in the policeman, but there's not in the law. So you can't keep laws. So since the law has no mercy in it, that was his brother Aaron that did that, but he only knew of the boat, you know, the goats and the bulls and turtle doves and so on. So he didn't know how to do it in a permanent way, Margaret. So those people still felt guilty every day because they had to get a lamb every day. Gee, I need another one. You got 360? I'll just buy them in a group lot and, you know, save some time. You know what? You need mercy all the time. But you got it. Jesus Christ is now your mercy forever and ever and ever and ever. Anytime you sin, it's covered. I like to buy that kind of an insurance program. That kind of deal is a good one. Hey, whenever you need anything, I've already put it in the bank. It's escrowed. It's there. You got it. Line of credit. Don't worry about it. Wow, that's awesome. Do you know that most banks won't just do that readily? You have to be a very good customer. You have to go by the laws and the rules. But God is he's different than men. God is God. Ani Yahweh. I am God, and here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you holy through the mercy of my Son, according to the power of my Spirit. Praise to God. Thank you to God. All you got to do, this is the only thing he has ever wanted from you. Thank you, praise you, I adore you. Do y'all see that? Peg, is it time for me to go? It's quarter after. Okay, I'm going to finish up. I never did read this scripture. But I'm going to read now 33, and I'm just going to do verse 19 because there's no time. Let's see, 33:19, Exodus 33:19. All right, here it says, and he said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before your face. 1, 2, 3, right there. 1, 2, 3, that's the love of God. Holiness, mercy, power. I will cause all my goodness to pass before your face. Holiness, mercy, power. And I will call out the name of Jehovah. This is God talking. I will call out my name, Jehovah, before your face. And I will favor whomever I will favor, and I will have mercy upon whomever I want to have mercy. And as I get to decide if I want to show mercy to people, I can do it. So he gave the law, but the moment he gave the law, in the next moment, he said, by the way, I reserve the right to show mercy to anybody who messes up. And you know who he had in mind? You. Me. He had you in mind. He was thinking, that day he was thinking, I know he was thinking of me. I know he was thinking of me, Hugo. It's amazing. Because he knew I was going to mess up. I don't even know when I started sinning, but it may well have been before I came out of the womb. Because I came out just completely thinking of myself. I was never thinking of my mother. I was never thinking of her reputation or whatever, because there was no dad. I wasn't thinking of helping anybody. I was just thinking of me. And then that's all I did, like that. And Mom had to take care of me. She had to nourish me and cherish me. Only she was told before that time, abort him, get rid of him, kill him. The law killeth. But the mercy of God giveth life. But now I have life and life abundant. I came that you might have life. And life abundant forever, every day of your life. Not only for here, but even for the future, even for heaven. I got life forever. That's good news. That's good news. You should think on this. This is better than thinking on you behaving. It'd be better to think on him keeping his promise. I like promises better than commands. Promises are real easy if God is keeping them on my behalf, because he doesn't lie, than if I was keeping a promise. I'm no good. I've made many promises, and Peggy's listened to them, and she trusted me sometimes, and then she learned not to. Well, you never do what you say. Oh, well, that's a surprise. I can't believe that. Well, you told the children you were going to do this. Did you do it? No. Well, see? Oh. You remember you said when we got married, I'll never leave her or forsake her? Well, I haven't left. Well, didn't you also promise to love me while you were staying? Oh, yeah. Did I say that? Well, there you have it. And so I was a lousy, no good, worthless person and husband, even after I was born again. Even after I believed in the chair too there, I still was a mess. Now, how many know that you're still a mess to this day? I mean, even if you try real hard, you cannot do it. I'm just telling you, quit. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Don't do anything. Let God do everything. Well, he won't do anything. I know. I've waited for him sometimes, and he doesn't come through. Oh, I know how clever you are, how smart you are. You think you're smarter than God. But the truth is, this is good news, and it's the only good news. There isn't anything else. If God doesn't come through, you're finished. If your presence doesn't go with us. So here's what he said. I will have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And then he goes on to say, I want you to go up to this, get out of this Mount Sinai thing. Get out of here and go into the promised land now. So now he could do it. But you know what? He couldn't do it. And so what he said is, I'm not going to go with you because I'd have to kill you along the way if you sinned. Because I just gave you the law, which I know you're not going to keep, you stiff-necked, stubborn people. I mean, you know, Jewish people are stiff-necked and stubborn. You know, thank God we're not Jewish. But they're stiff-necked, stubborn. And so God said, I know who you are. I picked the people that were stiff-necked and stubborn. Thank God when he picked me, I wasn't stiff-necked and stubborn. No, we're all that way. But he said, it's okay. So Moses argued him. He said, okay, God, let me say something as a lawman. As the man who's given the law that you gave to me to give to them, I want to tell you something. You made a promise. Don't forget you made a promise to Abraham. Have you forgotten that? I'm being a little tough here on you, but I'm just telling you, we can't keep this stupid law. This law is too hard. This thing is way too hard, this be perfect thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You made a promise earlier. Are you vitiating? Are you obviating that promise that you made? Remember, you told him that the people would come in and inherit this land. Now you're going to kill them all if you come. He says, okay. All right, I heard what you said. So God, being merciful, said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I stay here in the midst of this people, I'll kill them all. Because they're not going to keep my law. And I told them, if you don't keep my law, you're dead. I'm going to put my tent outside the camp. Outside the camp. Where was Jesus crucified? Outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Not inside. Not in the temple. Not in the area of holy. It was outside in the public fair. The thoroughfare, the main street going north. Toward Damascus, interesting town. Toward that one, he was killed and crucified, and everybody saw him naked. So Jesus was crucified because that's how God wanted to do it. And so he put his tent out here where Jesus was going to be crucified. God. And if you were in the camp of the righteous who weren't ever righteous, you had to stand in the door of your tent and watch Moses go out to God's little tent and ask, you know, we need some more mercy today. ML is messed up again. Sorry, we told him 10 times. He's just not listening. And so Moses had to constantly go out there and get more mercy from God. But God was happy to do it outside the tent because they couldn't keep it inside the camp. That was a holy camp, but only God saw that it was holy. In other words, this is the best gift God ever gave you right here, is to show that you're not God and you cannot keep his law. That's a great gift. So by seeing that I'm not God, I won't be hard on myself. Because what can I do? I am sinful. I am wicked. I'm what everything he said not to do, I did it. Whatever he said to do, I didn't do it. So God says, okay, so here's how I'm going to do it. Never look at my holiness without going through the mercy, without going according to the power of God. Holiness through mercy, according to power, is the love of God. That's why we are Christians today, because of the promise. Because of the promise he gave to Abraham. And because he moved his tent outside so you could be forgiven out here in the world, not in the holy place. Out here in the world, because the holy people weren't holy, because they didn't see the holiness through the mercy, and they didn't see that according to the promise. That's why Moses argued with him and said, God, look, if you go with us, you'll kill us all. But I'll tell you what, move your tent out there. And then you don't have to kill us because you can't see us over here. How many know that God can't see you if you're more than, 300 yards away? And so because they were way over there, he couldn't see them. And so God, of course, knows all of this. But here's what, he hid his love here. In that I gave you the law, I never expected you to keep it. I wanted Jesus to keep it for you. And so when he died, you died. So therefore, how could you commit sin if you died? It's already been paid for. Therefore, there is the mercy of God. There is the power of God. Never look at my holiness apart from my mercy, according to my power. That is the love of God. The three faces of love. Holy, merciful, powerful. Bottom of the box, the lid of the box, and what's on top of the box. The glory of God is right there. The presence of God is with you. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll do it. Let him do it. You're his son. You're his daughter. He's your beloved. I'll tell you, this is good news to me. Is it good news to you?
Yes.
Okay, someone testify and say, let's have two people. Someone testify and say, this was good, Pastor. I love this message. It helped me. It's a blessing.
It's not a better message.
Good. Good. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because it's good news. There isn't any bad news. That's why we can be happy in this world. We can have hope in this world, where otherwise on our own we couldn't. And the whole world today is fumbling around, stumbling around, trying to make a buck or get more power over people or whatever. And a lot of people in the church, legalistic, trying to do their best and so on. What a waste. What a waste of time when God's already done everything. Just take what he's already finished.
The fact that the world despises holiness.
Right.
They despise the law.
They do.
But the joy in us,
right,
is the fact that we can love those people.
We can.
But not on our own, because we can't.
Right.
But through his Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
We can.
Yeah. Because he forgave us. Everyone here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's okay. Let God do it. Whatever God requires, God supplies. Whatever God requires of you, desires of you, let him provide. Let him supply. Let him be your supply. My God shall supply all your needs. All means all. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, material, whatever. Whatever your needs are, let God take care of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Wow. I like a God that gives everything and expects nothing back except this. Thank you. I didn't do anything. I just thanked him for doing everything. I didn't do anything. The thanking was not another do. I was just thanking him because he did everything. And then I praise him for who he is. I am Yahweh. So, la da'at ki. Ani Yahweh. Me kadosh kem. I am the Lord your God. He's the one that brought you out of Egypt. He's the one that did all this stuff. He's the one that gave you the law. But know this. This is what I want you to know. This knowledge is your very life. When I tell you this, which nobody knows, this is not a self-evident truth. This is a revelation from the living God to his people who have messed up. He's just telling you, I want you to have heaven on earth. I don't want you to have heaven in heaven. I want you to have heaven start right now on earth today. That's pretty amazing. Well, can I really be happy today? Because I've tried and not working. Could I really be peaceful today? Yeah. Because he already paid for it. I don't know why you're trying to do what's already been done. Why would you try to make yourself something that you're not? But why don't you just take his promise to make you what you are? Whatever he wanted you to be, let him do it. And he's already done it. He's already done it. Oh, but I haven't seen it. Well, you don't have to see it to believe it. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. So you're perfect today. You're perfect today. You're perfect today. You're perfect today. Now, you don't look it. Am I right, Kathy? He did not. He did not look like it. He did not look like it. You're perfect today. Acceptable to God, just the way you are. Let God do all the cleaning up. He's faithful to forgive you, that's chair two, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that's chair three. What a God. What a God we serve. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God. Who else wants to testify? Anybody else? Okay, I'm off. God bless you.
God bless you.
I love you all.
Love you.
You're the best. Don't forget this good news. Holiness, mercy, power. That's the love of God.